to the Mug Meeting Summaries podcast. I'm Gilbert Detilieu. Our April meeting's RTFM topic featured yours truly, talking about sudo.
First of all, just a quick show of hands, how many people have already used sudo?
Holy crap.
How many used it?
All right, we're done.
How many used it in the last 2 hours?
Yeah. Okay, so what you may know or may not know, the name sudo, it's basically because it's like the su command, which meant for run as a substitute user, but the do part means you're typically doing a specific action, like running a specific command. It's safer than sudo because it offers more limited control over things. So, first of all, you authenticate with the credentials of the account you're already logged in, as opposed to a shared account. So if you're going to have multiple system administrators, you don't have to share passwords between us, which is not considered best practice. The other thing is, you can only do what's been specifically granted. It's kind of a role-based access control. So again, much more control than what you have with just SU. And better logging than SU, including failures and successful commands. Okay, what sudo doesn't do...
What?
It's not meant.
It does everything.
I mean, most of these are fairly obvious, I just have to explain the last comment. I see such interesting things at work in our sudo logs. I blame Ubuntu, it's maybe unfair, we run non-Ubuntu systems in our labs, and they're, of course, locked down, so we don't give sudo access to just anyone. But it doesn't stop students from trying sudo apt get command that's already installed on the system. Anyway, so that's what that was about. So, in short, sudo is not a magic wand. In short, this is how you would typically use it. The second example is your typical usage. You might use a minus U option to specify a particular username. Default would be root. You can also specify a minus G to specify a group name. You can set environment variables on the command line. These are options for getting interactive shells, and I'll get to that in just a second. There's also a sudo edit, which I wasn't even aware was there until I started reading the man page for it. So, basically what it does is actually you can set that up as a particular access right. You can give someone the right to edit a particular file without necessarily giving them general command access to an editor. It will actually copy that file to a temporary file owned by the user. The user then edits that file as their own user ID, and then it copies it back. So it's a more restricted environment. The first usage there is basically just to list what access rights have been granted to you, and you double up the L to get a longer listing format. So that's essentially what this says here. And I explained the minus G, minus U. The minus I and minus S, it's basically, as I said, to do an interactive shell as opposed to running a specific command. These are the recommended ways of doing it. Minus I is to simulate an initial login. So it goes through all of the typical login processing you would expect, including reinitializing the entire environment. There are very few variables that do get passed across. Display and term, I think, are the only ones that are unchanged. And other variables get set to login defaults, and everything else is wiped out. If you want to have your environment passed along, then you would use minus S instead of minus I.
So you're saying it runs the profile and login from the super user account?
Yes.
Yeah, the user you're substituting. So it's either going to be the super user, or if you've specified a minus U, if you're logging in as that user, essentially.
Question?
Speaking?
Okay, Mike first, and then...
That's a question, not a comment. I am priority.
how does the dash I compare to doing a sudo su?
It's
closer to a sudo su dash.
Yeah. Sorry?
Yeah.
Sudo su dash. Sudo su dash?
Or closer to, I don't know.
Yes, yeah, some of those variables. And sudo dash I should have the exact same effect.
This is just a simpler way to do it. Like, why would you go through another command just to get the same result? This.
Because dash I doesn't work on anything older than a Red Hat 5-based system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just not there.
All right.
That's why.
Okay, thanks for
sudo bash dash L.
Okay. I often wondered, because I would see that some people would do that, sudo su, and I thought, well, that's kind of silly. I didn't realize.
Yes.
All right. You had a question, though, or a comment.
That was what I was going to
do. That was it. Okay, thank you.
Actually, more on the comment, the sudo su. You know on the Macs how there is quote-unquote, no root account.
Yeah.
However, if you still need to log into it, just sudo su, and then all of a sudden you're root, and you don't have to have the root password, you have the password for your...
It's because there is no root password.
Exactly.
Yes. It took me a couple of days to figure that out. I thought I deleted my root account or something initially. I wondered.
But there is a root account. There's just no password.
Actually, dash I is missing on Mac OS X earlier than 10.4, I think.
Oh, okay, because I did check on 10.4 or 10.5. I can't remember.
It was definitely there in 5.
Okay.
I think it was there in 4.
Okay.
I think 3 wasn't. I'm not positive.
All right.
So, just a few quick examples. These ones we already talked about. This is kind of your typical usage. You use sudo and then put the command right on the command line. You might do this. This is the way people will typically edit a file, but as I said, you can use sudo edit, which is a more restrictive way of doing that. Okay. Yeah.
Just a little bit of a conceptual thing that isn't totally clear to me is when you're running a command sudo, when I run a command like that, I'll do edit whatever the file is. Am I running, editing that file as root, or is it just that my user has permission to edit these files accessibly?
As root. You're talking the first example or the second one?
I'll say the first one.
This one, you will be running as root. Your by session will be running as root. Okay. And unless you've actually set up restrictions, from that VI you could do shell escapes.
Okay.
So then you have full root.
But then the
In this case, you're not running as root, okay?
Because of the copy.
Sudo edit itself is copying the file, you're editing it under your own user ID, and then it gets copied back.
But then when it's prompting you to authenticate with your own password, that's just to confirm you are who you say you are, and you're...
Yeah, presumably, so that if you walked away from your session, someone else can't escalate privileges.
All right, okay.
But if you use that sudo by example, you'll be in the user environment, not the root environment.
No, you'll be in the root environment.
You're in the root environment? Yes. And all the environmental variables are the same as root?
No.
Oh, you meant in that sense?
Yeah.
No. It's not simulating a login. It's basically simulating
permission.
It's changing the user you're running as, but with the environment that you have.
So you'd have to use sudo dash I
to completely replace the environment,
So
that example will give you the exact same results as su-cvi, whatever, where it replaces some variables but not most.
Okay, so the way things happen behind the scenes is there's a sudoers file, and it's typically located in etc. And it has a very complicated syntax. If you look through the sudoers fan page, you will see it's described in some sort of BNF type of syntax, and it goes on for pages and pages. This is an extremely simplified version of the syntax, and it's kind of typical of the structure you'll see, but it's a simplified version. So you'll have a user list. This is the users you're initially running as. So when you go to run sudo, it checks this column to see who you currently are. This is the host list. And often it's just all because you're not usually restricting it based on the host name, but you can. The part in the parentheses is the list of users that this particular user is allowed to change to, so the run as user list. It's often set to all, but you can restrict that. You can say user A is allowed to become user B, but not anyone else. So you don't necessarily have to give away the keys to the whole farm. And then you have an optional tag specification followed by a command. And so that's what that last all represents. So what this particular line will do, and you'll typically find exactly that line in a sudoers file. It's granting root permission to use sudo to change to any other user to run any other command. Why not? They have the privilege to do it, but it's just as a convenience. One other line you will often find, and this is kind of more typical of how you would be able to escalate privilege, the percent sign here says rather than being a list of users per se, it's a list of group ID. And so this says for users that are in the admin group, you will grant permission as described. And so typically the way you implement this is you have in etc. group an admin group, and there will be a list of users associated with that. And any of those users can be allowed to use sudo, and anyone else can't. And this is essentially the magic line that is in macOS and in Ubuntu and many other distributions out there nowadays where they, you know, magically have sudo access. This is the magic. So basically when your account gets set up, if it's through a GUI or something, there's usually like a checkbox that says this user is allowed to be an admin. It basically puts you in the admin group, and then this is the line in sudo that does the rest for you.
Yes. For the old fogies in the crowd, BSD-based systems still do percent wheel.
Yes. Percent wheel is another example that is... You'll sometimes see that in a sudoers file, usually commented out, but yeah, it is a possible way of doing it. Same idea, just a different name for a default admin.
What was wrong with the real group? Really? Worked for years and years and years.
Here's some more complicated examples, and these are sort of real-world examples. Sean might shudder at this first one. Say you've got some web application that has to do a little bit of magic behind the scenes. And so you want to be able to do something through some sort of helper script that you're going to run as root or some other user than the web user. You can set up a command alias for that script or that set of scripts. And of course, what you're going to want to do is make sure that you are not requiring a TTY on those. Normally, you have an option, a default option set in sudoers that says require TTY, and the reason for that, as the comment indicates, is so that people aren't typing in passwords that show up as clear text. However, in this case, we're going to use the no password tag, so we're not going to ask for a password, so we don't require TTY, so that's what that option does. And this is just whatever user our web server is running as, and then we allow it to run that CGI helper script. I found that useful in one case to do a little bit of magic behind the scenes. Here's another real-world example.
Now Sean can crack it.
No comment.
All right, say you've got a non-privileged user that has a backup drive on some remote server system. Typically, you can allow them to mount that thing by having the user option set in a desktop. So they can mount and unmount that drive, but what about running particular commands that are normally privileged? Like you want to run a file system check on it. Well, you can allow it in a way like this, and you might want to just say no password in that case because they're not likely to do any damage. This also shows that for the command, you can specify just the command name, in which case any options can be specified. Or you can actually specify options, in which case the command has to be entered exactly as specified. You can't deviate from that. So that's a way of restricting the use to a particular command and option set. So, for instance, this particular user would be allowed to run file system check on that labeled file system, but not on any other devices on that system. And you might also do, for instance, say there's some sort of RAID management program you might want to allow access to that as well. So that's what that example shows. Any questions? Sean first, and then...
Minus K warrants mentioning. Sudo by default will cache credentials for a determined period of time. So you run it, you enter your password, and then subsequent invocations up to that limit don't require your password. Mm-hmm. So what I found helpful is adding sudo minus K in my bash logout, or dot whatever logout.
Oh, okay.
And what minus K does is it flushes the caching credentials, so if I accidentally... And once I log out, I'm sure that any sudo command that I've done, all of that caching credentials is gone after.
Thank you. That's a good addition.
Yeah. Also worth mentioning is that if you, due to the arcane syntax you mentioned in etcsudoers, if you screw up that file, you lock yourself out, and there is a way to protect yourself against that, I'll let you take over. Or you don't know. I don't know if this is distro specific or anything, but there's a canon called visudo, and you can set the editor environmental variable to whatever you want, and it apparently runs some kind of syntax check after you're done editing, so that if you screwed up the etcsudo or syntax, your changes are undone.
Good idea to back up everything before you use bypass.
It doesn't matter if you screw up sudoers, you have to boot it to single user mode to fix it. If you don't have any root access.
If you don't have root access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
VI sudo is the suggested editor. You're not recommended to edit it by hand.
Yeah.
For that reason.
I just
like VW that nobody ever bothers to use.
But, and actually, the follow-up there is you still might lock yourself out if you don't make a syntax error, and VI sudo isn't going to catch that. So what you should really do is go and test sudo if you've made some scary changes before you lose the root login that you have. So, assuming you get your root login exclusively through sudo. If you don't, then it's not an issue. But if you're getting your root login exclusively through sudo, say if you're using Ubuntu or macOS, as was mentioned here, then test your etcsudoers before you lose that access.
Good point. Thanks. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Actually, another thing is that in regards to Sean mentioned the timeout, is that if you log into multiple sessions on your computer. A lot of defaults will allow, if you type in sudo and type a password in one session, it will work for the other session. And you can change that or not.
Okay.
They have to share the same process group controller for that.
I'm saying login is the same ID. If you log in as the same ID in multiple sessions, it will copy. It will go through.
Sometimes.
If you enter password one, you can use it in the other one without having to enter the password.
Yeah, I thought it was based on the TTY as well. Like
there's an option in sudo that you can set to make it that. But it's
default.
But yeah, it's a file stored in /temp. That's the mutex for am I authenticated? Yeah. And if you can touch that file, you can use it.
It's in /temp. Mm-hmm.
It depends on the implementation. I've seen it in /temp.
In var
or in
something.
Var private.
Var
some
cache.
I have a question. Has anybody in this room actually used sudoers to do anything more complicated than the examples Gilbert had up here? Other than Sean.
I don't
know,
maybe equally complicated.
Why?
Horrid backups and SSH credentials that I didn't want given to anybody on the system. So they were /root. I gave permission to read certain SSH keys out, and you use it through sudo. And I actually, what I did is I created a small script that was C code that was horribly designed so that, yes, you could exploit it. But the idea was that you execute the script to do it.
Oh.
And because that script is static, you're good.
Ouch.
Yeah, but I mean, buffer overflow 101, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So okay.
All there? What's the meaning of the three all?
Oh, the comment at the top shows it. This is the host list. This is the run as list, so it's users. And then this is the command. The tag spec there is optional. That was like the no password tag. So yeah, in this case, this is host, user, and command.
This may be a stupid question, but how do you specify a command called no password without specifying a tag?
The colon.
Yeah,
the
there's colon after
tag.
The tag.
Stupid question.
Command called no password
colon. No, because colon is not a valid command name according to the bash parser.
Really? Oh, okay.
Bash would puke on it. unless you change some black magic in your shell first. So yes, just, you could construct a situation.
And just escape it. What's the problem? Escape it on the VI. Escape. Oh.
Probably, yeah.
Because in the very early days of the Born Shell, colon was actually... No, but it was actually an external command. It was an alias for bin true.
All right.
Let's take that into the break.
There's the historical trivia lesson for today.
That's awesome.
Of course, correct. Even
any other questions?
Still have left square bracket.
How about a coffee break?
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more Mug Meetings summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at muug.mb.ca.